Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning back again to the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 2, and we will be considering just what the Savior said to his mother, Mary, when she gently scolded him, when in actual fact he had done no wrong. It was they, that is, his mother Mary and Joseph, who had done the wrong. Parents sometimes can be wrong. Sometimes. Well, in this instance, they were wrong. They had carelessly caught up with a crowd from their area, Nazareth, and the happiness of the event. They had just been to the Passover, and now they were heading home and chattering away and meeting folk they maybe hadn't seen for quite some time, and they forgot about the Lord Jesus. Oh, that's easy. Any one of us can get caught up with things in this world, the excitement of events, and forget the Lord. And they went off and didn't notice he was missing. And then when they did, they spent 3 days looking for him. Now, you can't understand the anxiety that must have passed through the heart and mind of Mary and Joseph, but Mary in particular. What dreadful thoughts entered her head about what could have happened to her 12-year-old boy. Finally, they came to the temple, the last place they had been with the Lord Jesus, and they found him there in discussion with the elders and the leading religious individuals in Jerusalem, discussing deep doctrine, and they were astonished at how this 12-year-old could discuss with them deep doctrine. Are you 12-year-old today? If you are, then you too can know something of the deep things of God. You can share, at least to some level, in the knowledge the Lord Jesus had. And it was at that point that, as I say, Mary rebuked the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure she did it gently, because she would have been so relieved to see him. She said unto him, and we're looking at the chapter 2 of Luke, the verse 48, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why have you done this to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Oh yes, there would have been great grief. But notice the answer of the Lord Jesus. And there's a lesson for all of you here today when you're dealing with your parents, even if you think they have said something to you that isn't right, isn't justified. They're being hard on you, you may think. But look at how the Lord answered. Now, they were wrong in this instance in speaking to the Savior the way they did. He had done no wrong. But see, even though that was the case, see how he answered. Listen to what the Savior said. Wist ye not, that's an old word as I told you before, know ye not. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you understand that I'm doing nothing wrong? I'm engaged in my Father's business. That's what I'm doing. So there's a lesson just in that gentle response by the Savior for us all. Well, we came to that, and last week I sort of run out of time in my study, and I had to sort of leave the study halfway through. So I want to take it up again today. Now, I have been seeking to emphasize to you this term in our new study, the wonderful truth that the Lord Jesus understands girls and boys, not only because he is God, and therefore knows all things, but he understands girls and boys because he came into this world, was born of Mary, and grew up passing through all the stages of development that you're engaged in. If you're not yet 12, well, here in this chapter, he was 12. He had passed through the years, including the year you are at, and has reached the age of 12. And consequently, he knows all about what happened to boys and girls. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. I want you to ponder that fact today. There's nothing about you that the Lord Jesus doesn't understand. Not a vague knowledge, but an intimate knowledge. He has trod the path that you are treading. Think on that. Think on that. I emphasized repeatedly, one thing was different about him and you. He did no sin. He did no sin. Whether you have faced up to the fact or not, you're a sinner. Your path, year by year, month by month, day by day, second by second, has been marked by sin. Sinful actions, sinful words, sinful thoughts. But not so the Lord Jesus. Not so the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 15, there is a word for you. Just listen to me, you younger ones in particular, while I quote that verse, Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. For in all points tempted like as we are. He was in all points. He encountered the same threats, the same temptations, the same difficulties as you, yet without sin. Without sin. We fall, we fail, we yield to temptations and difficulties and go astray. But the Savior, though he met them, experienced them, knows what they are, he didn't yield to sin. That's important for us to bear in mind. Now, that verse in itself suggests a study of another kind, the study of the trials that the Lord Jesus faced and which we face as well. Just think of the trials the Savior faced and which we face. He knew sorrow. We read of the Savior weeping. He knew what it was to be disappointed in others. He was abused by men. He was cruelly treated, especially before the leaders of Israel, just at the time before his crucifixion. He was abused by the soldiers most cruelly, and then there was the crucifixion itself. That's almost the ultimate in cruelty. Indeed, his sufferings and trials exceeded anything man has ever faced. And that being the case, he knows all about our struggles. Oh, that you might know that. Oh, that you might understand that. You have a friend who sympathizes with you. When others, you think, don't understand. When you think, Mom and Dad don't understand you, there's a friend who understands. He has been where you have been. Now, last week we considered how that from Matthew chapter 13 and the verse 54 and 56, that the neighbors who grew up with the Lord Jesus and who knew him, therefore, very well, nevertheless, when he began his public ministry and introduced himself as the Messiah, they were astonished. We read these words in verse 54 of Matthew 13. They were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Now, that tells us that though they had grown up with him, known him, in that time of his life, and he was marked by the fact that he did no sin, they never noticed that. They never noticed anything special about him. That he was wonderfully different. Have you noticed that when you read the Bible, there's something special about the Lord Jesus? Or have you been guilty in some other place? Have you been guilty outside of school? I don't think it would happen in school, but have you been guilty outside of school of taking his name in vain? They do it out there all the time, out there in the world. Every day you hear it. When they stub their toe, they take the name of the Lord as a blasphemy. And there's a thousand other instances in which they do that very thing. They take the name of the Lord in vain. What? Because it means nothing to them. He's not a special person. And in a way, that's how those who grew up with him looked on him. He's no different. And then when he preached and showed great wisdom in his preaching, they were astonished. They'd never noticed this about him. Oh, boys and girls, may God open your eyes to the Savior. And may you recognize that he is so special that our minds are not capable of taking in how special he is. The one day he is going to come And this world will understand how special he is. Well, today we're going to think, if I might go back to Luke chapter 2 and the words of the Lord Jesus, where he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" That was the Savior's life. That was his purpose in coming to this earth, his Father's business. That is what brought him, his Father's business. The Lord Jesus understood his link with his Father. He always knew that. There never was a time when the Lord Jesus didn't know his Father, didn't realize the relationship between himself and his Father. It may be hard for us to take that in, but that is the case. At 12 years of age, he is underscoring that and gently reminding Mary, "Joseph is not my father. I have had a miraculous birth. I am the eternal Son of God, and I came into this world by way of being born as a baby in Bethlehem." Now, some of you have studied the Shorter Catechism, or maybe engaged presently in studying the Shorter Catechism. Now, you mightn't think that that's a great blessing, but it is. And I hope one day that you will realize that this little document is a wonderful, wonderful document that would point you to heaven. Well, it says in it, in the question 6, the Shorter Catechism, how many persons are there in the Godhead? And the answer is, there are 3 persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Now, I don't expect you to fully understand what that says. I don't fully understand it, but I believe it. They tell us the sun is so many miles away from the earth. Now, there's no way I can make sure that's the case. I can ascertain that that is a fact, but I'm ready to accept that that is the case. What the Shorter Catechism says is based upon the Word of God. And though I can't fully grasp it, nevertheless, I believe that that's what the Bible teaches. It's something of a mystery, but nevertheless, I believe it's absolutely true. There's many things that we can't understand, but we do accept. And there's certainly many things regarding God and His truth that we can't fully understand. I mentioned to you, one day the Lord is coming again. I can't fully comprehend what that will entail, but I believe in it with all my heart. And I seek to study from God's Word just what will happen on that day. And that day will come, just as this morning the sun rose on this, the 24th of September. One day the sun will rise, and whatever the date may be, it's the day of the Lord. And He will come. He will come. As I say, I can't fully understand everything the Bible sets forth regarding that day, but I believe it. I don't question it. And when it comes to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe what is set forth in the Shorter Catechism, and I want you to believe that. I want you to believe that, boys and girls. I want you to believe it. Now, the Lord Jesus always knew His Father, but we cannot know our Heavenly Father as He did. He had a perfect knowledge of His Father because He was equal to His Father. So He had a perfect understanding of His Father's will, His Father's plans, His Father's purpose. He knew them exactly. Now, we can't have that knowledge. But listen to me. If we become children of God by being born again by the power of the Holy Ghost, through the believing of the gospel, we will enter into a knowledge of God. Are you saved this morning? Are you? If you're not saved this morning, you don't know God. Well, I say that again. If you're not saved this morning, you do not know God. You know about Him. You know His name. You may have quite a good understanding of what it is the Bible says about God, but you don't know Him. There's individuals we read about in the news every day. For instance, the Prime Minister. You can't listen to the news, but there's references to him. What he is saying, what he is planning, what he hopes to do, and all the rest of it. But you and I don't know him. Maybe you have met him. I certainly have never met him. In fact, I have to say, I don't particularly want to meet him. But you understand, I know about him, but I don't know him. You know, if you're not saved, you know about God, but you don't know him. We only enter into an acquaintance with God when we're born again. Our eyes are open. We receive a new nature. A nature by which we can embrace a knowledge of God. I can tell you, boys and girls, the moment became my experience. The Lord Jesus was a complete stranger to me until that moment. And then, as it were, he stepped into my life. And he has never left my side. He has never ceased to speak words of comfort, of peace, of joy. Words of information and learning and enlightenment. Oh, do you know Christ? Are you born again? The Lord Jesus said, except the man is born again, he cannot see or enter heaven. Take heed. Take heed to that word. Then, just to close our thoughts, we show that we are the children of God by loving and caring for the other members of the family. I had a wee boy come up to my home there not so long ago. And I was talking to him. He had a wee present for me. And he left it. And just as he was going, I said, would you like a wee sweetie? I keep a wee store of them. Those I don't eat myself. I keep a wee store of them to hand out. And surprisingly, the wee boy said, oh yes. So I gave that wee boy a sweetie. And off he went, grabbing at it and trying to unwrap it. And out through the door. But in about 5 seconds, he was back in again. And do you know what he said? I have a sweetie for my brother and for my sister. That was very unusual, but very natural. Because I know amongst you, there are little family groups, and I can watch how you show a concern for the members of your family. And if you're saved, you will love the other members of God's family. We read in 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 1. Listen to these words. You who are saved, listen particularly. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten. Everyone that's born of God loves every other one who's born of God. That's what the verse says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. And you can know a Christian because they will love others. I have been a Christian now for over 60 years, and I've travelled in many parts of the world. And now and then I have come into the company of someone, I don't know them, but after a moment or two of speaking, there's something, and I have said to them, are you? Yes, I am. There has just been sense being linked to them, to a part of the family. And within me there was a recognizing, and instantly there was a shaking of hands and an excited exchange, because we were part of the family, and if you love the Saviour, you love those who love the Saviour. Of course, I've got to remind you that the Saviour tells us that we are not just to love Christians. We are to love our enemies as ourselves. That's the distinction that is to be found in the Christian. They love even those who hate them. And it's an important thing for us to bear in mind today. Oh, boys and girls, have you taken the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? Are you holding his hand as you walk to heaven? May the Lord write these words on your heart. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that it may please you to take these words and apply them with power to the hearts of the boys and girls here. May there be encouragement for those who are saved. May there be enlightenment and information May there be a growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And for those who may not be saved, O God, have mercy on them. Reveal thyself to them and save them. Bless our school today. We commit it into thy hands and all that it is for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.